Yeah, you say that, then you understand the Caucasian better because of this gathering.
Because they come in social, in the public, they have other face, just like actors, you know. But when they come to their daily life, you are their servant, you're close with them, they have nothing to hide, you know.
Did you like that job, besides, you know?
Well, by then, first thing, you have a steady pay. Another thing, then you work for those rich people, you can go more place you cannot go. They like a weekend, they have a yacht in there, in Catalina Island. Then they usually bring their cook or their maid to the big yacht, you know, have a party. See, you do the service job, then you see more. Then after the work, we get together and go on the go on the land and have our own good time. But if you are a worker for some other, such as laundryman, you don't have such a chance. Even you are rich, then they are prejudiced. They don't allow you to go in. But if you are the servant, they have certain place for the servant among those rich people. I remember one occasion when I drive the boss to a concert, and they all have a big limousine. They, my boss have a sport Cadillac. So it doesn't show much, you know, but sometimes he said, I drive my the car myself, so as well have an open limousine, open Cadillac, sedan. I drive to him. All those other chauffeur, they don't think I'm a chauffeur, see? Then the next time I put on the chauffeur's cap before the, you're a driver, you have a badge, a metal badge here, put on your head. Then they see the badge and you see the chauffeur's cap. Then they make room for me to park the car inside. Otherwise, you have a hard time to park your car in there because they all line up when the weather call on certain parties server, then you have to drive to the front to pick them up. So by that time I have hard time, they don't talk to me. The next time I dress up and as a regular chauffeur, then when they see I have a uniform and cap on, then they begin to talk to each other. Then we talk about the master's private life, who they are acquainted. We have a lot of inside story. If you are a newspaper reporter, public, they get more inside story from those chauffeur than anything, you know, that they usually pick up from them, you know. Because their daily life, they have nothing to hide, see. All those, they are servant, only a servant, you know. Yeah. Like the job and have a better chance to know the all different rich family. We drive them to Beverly Hills, they have a garden party. We park outside, sometimes they need help, we go there help them make some services. Yeah, that's a good thing. Even you are close to friends, they still have something to hide, you know. Their private life. But if you're a servant, they sell everything. Many of them, they are so drunk, you have to carry them on.
You mean the master got drunk?
No, the lady. You have to carry them, you know.
So, but you wouldn't take that job as a permanent job?
No, no. You learn enough. Because you have to stay in there anytime midnight, they call you, drive them to a certain place, you have to get up.
You stay with them, though?
Yeah, you have to. See. As a chauffeur, you have to stay. Then they have a separate quarter for the servant. They have a gardener, maid, cook, chauffeur, many of them. In the old days, they have a large house. They have to have enough servant to make the house there, to fill up the house.
And did you change the job from one family to another family?
No, I worked for, I think, just one job, I think.
And you thought that you learn enough and then you
left. Get tired enough, because you have no freedom. 24 hours, you have to stay with them. Only on that day off, you have to come back Sunday. you have no record to get off. Sometimes they send want to go place mm-hmm. or they have party, then you have to you cannot have a day off. Mm-hmm. Then you have the other day to make it up. That's no freedom at all.
Did you make a good friend with the other, like cook and the maids in the same house? Huh? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, by that, I remember when the San Anita racetrack opened. Mm-hmm. That's back, I don't know how many years ago. When first their grand opening, their first racetrack opened, then I tried the boss from one cocktail party to another party. Mm-hmm. I don't have anything to eat that, you know. So after the race, they have a grand party at I think an elder dinner some mm-hmm. place I forget, but I told the boss to them. Then I went in the cook at the kitchen, told them I haven't eaten anything today. Oh, they said it's an offer, so they set me up wine, everything, you know. They said you should in that case you should go in any kitchen, you know, tell them. They always feed you, you know. Mm-hmm. They understand a lot of the time you drive them along, you can find in the restaurant. Mm-hmm. They said, don't feel embarrassing. You just tell them you're hungry, you don't eat, they will be mm-hmm. glad to feed you. Mm-hmm. See?
Those cooks are not necessarily Chinese.
No, those are, they are from Europe. They're, most of them, they are newcomer. Mm-hmm. That's why they take those are service jobs. But those that they grow up in here, they don't like it much of them. Mm-hmm.
The cook and also the maid in the household that you work for, were they Chinese or?
No, all of them, they are maid and cook. A lot of time they cook are Chinese. Mm-hmm. But they are maid is large percent, the governor, they are all just a Caucasian.
Caucasian,
yeah.
I see.
Mm-hmm. And chauffeur, a lot of time, black people. Mm-hmm.
How about gardener?
Gardener, mostly Italian. Oh. Yeah, Italian, they're good gardening.
Mm-hmm. And Japanese gardener came later?
Also Japanese gardener too. Mm-hmm.
Right. So actually you made a lot of friends who were not Chinese at that time.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Because in La Cañada, that's a great growing land. Citrus and grape. A lot of Italian big farmers, they grow wine, they grape there, they make wine out of them. Mm-hmm. So I make a lot of Italian friends and go to their house and take me down to their basement, show me all those wine and salami, mm-hmm. and usually have a dinner at their place. Mm-hmm. So more or less I know the international people.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
And how about the black?
Black, I get along with them nice.
Very well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Besides the chauffeur.
Besides chauffeur, a lot of time I go to Center Avenue. Mm-hmm. They have a big theater there. They have a nightclub there. I used to go. Just there's no fear, not in there, not like a present day. Mm-hmm. They all respect each other and treat each other nice.
Mm-hmm. What are these people's occupation, basically?
All the colored people before, they more or less they are janitor, more like Chinese, just a low-class job anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So again, you know, because they were working at the same level of the...
the same level of Chinese.
Uh-huh.
Well, in fact, the black people respect the Chinese more than the white, mm-hmm. because they understand they have a prejudice. By then, many of the Chinese, they married to a black girl. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the present day, the Chinese girl married to a black man now. Mm-hmm. But in the old days, they'd be proud to have a Chinese son-in-law.
Oh.
But in the old days.
Very interesting.
Because they don't have many Chinese women in there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When first I came here, the men and women, male and female, the difference is 10 to 1. Mm-hmm. 10 men, 10 male
to one woman.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, the black men like to marry a Chinese. The black woman like to date Chinese men. Oh, that's
by the old days, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's about 19. Before 1940.
Before the war, yeah.
Before the war.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 1930, yeah, that's before the Second World War. Mm-hmm. Well, same as the Mexican too. The, mm-hmm. And have a lot of Mexican friends just the same.
Even their skin is lighter and they still think...
Yeah, I think the Chinese in the Mexican, many of them intermarriage more than the black. Mm-hmm. Because their skin, their children doesn't look so bad. Mm-hmm. They're more like a Chinese or Mexican, it doesn't make any difference, not too much a difference. Mm-hmm. But intermarriage with the white or black, they have a distinction in there. Mm-hmm. Right. So many of them have a... for instance, in South America or Mexico, mm-hmm. a large percentage, they have no Chinese women there. Mm-hmm. Most of them, they married to the Mexican girl, then they raise their family, then they send them to Chinese school too. Mm-hmm. South America, they do the same thing, mm-hmm. many of them. Mm-hmm. Some of those, they call Spanish, they are more white, mm-hmm. than their children. Their complexion a little different. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of friends there. Children are Spanish, mm-hmm. not Mexican. They. Mm-hmm. Mexican, they are Indian and they are native. They are mixed. Then come to if intermarriage with Chinese, mm-hmm. their children only a quarter of the Indian or quarter of Spanish.
Spanish. Mm-hmm.
So that they are entirely different.
So after you came to Chinatown, did you still associate with the non-Chinese?
Well, like in the flower market, you know, I stuck in flower market and flower shop. Flower market, okay. Just like the produce market, mm-hmm. that's more international too.
Uh-huh,
they have a large percent Japanese, Greek, German, yeah. and large percent Italian. Mostly Japanese, they are large percentage. Uh-huh. They have more farm grow flour.
So even you live in Chinatown, you didn't discontinue the association with the
non-Chinese. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, all the year in even first I land in here, I get acquainted with non-Chinese too. Mm-hmm. When first I land in San Francisco, I work in the Chinese, they call dry goods store. Mm-hmm. Then we have a different customer, mostly Caucasian people there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's why it gave me a chance to practice speak English.
English. Mm-hmm. You didn't speak a word of English when you came.
No, not a single word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, did you feel more Chinese or American? I mean...
Well, I think half and half. Mm-hmm. Like a living way, the way of living and eating. A lot of time I crave for American food than the Chinese, mm-hmm. such as a hamburger or mm-hmm. stew or a good steak.
Roast beef.
Yeah, more like, yeah, you know, when you're in here so long, then your constitution, mm-hmm. see, gradually change.
Mm-hmm.
Your thinking, everything, you're more or less half and half.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever feel sorry for being Chinese?
No, you're always proud of that. I know a friend, he married to a Canadian or a Caucasian. Mm-hmm. He was a graduate from high school in Guangzhou in Guangdong. He came over, he studied religious to be a minister. Mm-hmm. He said by then, he's a very, very Americanized. He forget himself Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
So he married to the Caucasian. They have a happy marriage. He forget himself as Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
So after he graduated, he couldn't find any church to be a minister. Mm-hmm. He said that he inquired a foreign missionary, tried to send him to China,
mm-hmm.
because he said he himself should be qualified. Mm-hmm. He said, well, we're educated in Chinese, we're educated in English, he should be a proper to send to China. But the foreign missionary society, no, you're Chinese, we cannot send you to China.
Mm-hmm.
Then he began to understand why.
Mm-hmm.
Then he looked around, so he come to Los Angeles and get a job as a minister.
Oh.
Then he told me one day, he came over here to talk about old day. He told me one day, his wife told tell him, his name is Ivan. Ivan, you're more like a Chinese every day now. He just amusing his wife's remark. Then he said, in his young age day, he fully Americanized, forget his Chinese. Food, thinking, daily life, everything is Americanized. Mm-hmm. But now, he among more Chinese, he come to talk to me, he said, I'm craving for all those Chinese food and about the Chinese, all those storybook and make him feel more happy that way. So he amused his wife's remark, he's more Chinese every day now. Mm-hmm. So in the Chinese too, we call that Wan Yu, Lo Yu Gui Gan. When a person comes to a certain period, then he began himself again. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One old Chinese in here, his children still living. He married to a Caucasian. At the Caucasian, the wife, they have three children. But when up to their age 60, he can live alone. He went back to China, marry again. Then they, after he get the Chinese young wife, came over, I think they have four or five children. He died at the age close to 100.
Still,
but everybody
more Chinese.
Know that. I don't want to name their name.
Right. And most of the people are more Chinese eventually.
Eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you see those students come back to China, mm-hmm. they married to a foreigner. But many of them, they have a happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
But many of them, they are not. You read about those diplomatic or those students' story now.
Mm-hmm. So still, you know, before they think they could be 100% Americanized, but actually it's not quite possible.
No, not possible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe those intermarried, those mixed in future generation, that they have their own world.
Mm-hmm.
But if they still have a pure Caucasian, pure Chinese, pure Spanish, they still feel our place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, did you ever eat any medicine-oriented food at home? Or eat any Chinese herb cooking with the Chinese food?
Oh yeah, I do a lot.
Still
that.
Do that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how about when you got sick, you rely on Chinese medicine?
Well, like any Chinese, they're customary, they have all those ready make patent medicine, more or less. We try to take that, unless it's serious,
mm-hmm.
then we go to doctor.
Uh-huh. Go to American doctor?
Yeah, American or Chinese American doctor.
Uh-huh. Like say before the war, you know, World War II, and most Chinese still go to the...
Well, they go to the American doctor, but on account of their language, many of them have to take an interpreter. Not very few Chinese doctor.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very few Chinese doctor.
Mm-hmm.
They see the American doctor, then they have to have interpreter to bring around.
Mm-hmm.
And like in Los Angeles, they have one old doctor. He's among the Chinese long enough. I think his name is Mo, Dr. Mo, something like that. He doesn't speak Chinese, but the patient, when the patient goes to him, he understands what their sickness, what their, so it's quite an understanding.
Uh-huh. His office is actually
Around Chinatown, which is close to Chinese.
Oh.
Yeah, before they have some type of doctor like that.
Mm-hmm. And most of their patients were Chinese.
Yeah, most of the Chinese. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And the Chinese will introduce the other Chinese when they go there.
Because you don't have speak English, then still he look at you, what you're sickness, then he can help you along.
Oh. But most Chinese would still take Chinese herbs, Chinese medicine.
Yeah.
And how about in recreation? Do you prefer Chinese game like the mahjong or Well, or go to Chinese movies or music?
Recreation, a large percentage Chinese play mahjong.
Mm-hmm. Even before World War II?
Well, all around, even now, they, when they have a Chinese in here, they play a domino, mahjong, you know, that's a semi-gambling, you know. But that's only recreation they have. Before the World War, very few movie theater, only one, and not enough people to go see it.
What was the name of that theater?
Before they don't have any Chinese theater, they just rent some small theater to show the
picture. Chinese film. So it's in Chinatown.
Around China, they try to find some theater to as close to Chinatown as they can find.
But not so many people
attend. So they are not very successful. But once why they have the Chinese, the Cantonese opera. In San Francisco, they have they are more concentrated in one spot. That's why they have two theater or three theater. But in Los Angeles, they spread out. Not enough Chinese to see it. They can't afford to have a theater. Occasionally, they rent a theater or rent the hall to show a Chinese moving picture.
How come not many Chinese attend the Chinese movies or opera?
The younger people, they don't understand what they are singing. Sometimes they said the music too loud.
And how about the old
people? Mostly the old ones, they like that.
Did you ever go?
I like that very much. Because you read the Chinese storybook and you understand the shows, mostly they are the history play.
So when you were single, when you work in the produce market and then come to Chinatown, what sort of recreation you have besides going to the movies?
Well, when your time, usually have a coffee, drive around, have a car, drive around. And
you enjoy driving?
Have some xiu ye, that's all. Because most of people, they are too tired. They have a long hour working. And they have no time to think about recreation. In the old days, we just think about our work. After one day, think about next day. So when they have little time, they're too tired to move to think about recreation.
How about the religion?
Few young people, they go to a Christian church. Like in Los Angeles, they used to have a Presbyterian, Congregational, Methodist, only three in the old days, before the World War, they have only that three church. They produce people, they go to a congregational church. They are close to this produce market. In Chinatown, they have a Methodist church. Mostly people live in around Chinatown. And they have that Presbyterian church, those that live outside Chinatown. They are they are more Americanized, they are better class than those people live in Chinatown.
So even attending the different church would classify which group they belong to?
Well, because one friend drag the other friend get together, they have more in common every day, Like the produce market, they see them working day in the produce market, I see you on Sunday at church, then easier to get around there.
How about temple? Chinese,
they have no temple at all. Only that Kongqiao temple, that very few people pay worship on that. Only one temple. No, two. One is a Kunyam, one is a Guan Dai. Guan Gong. The Kongqiao have that Guan Gong.
Guan Gong. How about Kunyam?
Kunyam Sing Wong. The Wong family association. They claim Kunyam is Wong. Because she became a god and she was a Wong girl.
And people didn't belong to the family, say Wang family or Quan family, then they cannot go.
No, like a Quan Gong, everybody worship them, you know. If a bandit worship Quan Gong, soldier worship Quan Gong, you know.
So actually, even if it's in Guangzhou Mill, then other people doesn't belong to the Four Family Association could go.
Yeah, they worship, but they open to the public.
Uh-huh, I see. So, did you write to your relatives or friends in China, like say before World War II?
Well, after you left too long, then they forget you, you forget them.
But at the beginning you did write back.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All of them, you know, when first they came in here, they have so many things to want to say, you know, to express. They write very often. Mm-hmm. But after you are in here, you have your daily life, daily work to do, you have no time to write.
Mm-hmm. Your mother was in China when you were here, and did you write to her?
Well, the close family, I think everybody have to write at least four times or five times.
A year.
But during Chinese New Year, everybody have to send some money home for their New Year money, you know.
So, did you or any other that you know join any association in Chinatown, like a family association?
No, in China people don't have to because they have their own family. They in overseas, like in America, they have those association because this is a strange land to them. That's why they have a district association, family association. I came from Shenzhen, you know. Shenzhen, they have more people overseas. So we first have the organization, they call district association. Those are newcomer, they have no other relative to take care of them. They usually go to the association. Like in San Francisco, before they tear down that temple on Pine Street, they have a long hallway. In the old days, when they came over, they have no place to stay. They go to the association. They sleep on the floor. Because when they first they bring their own comfort, they min toy, jack, their own belonging. They just spread out, they stay there. See how many people in there, they cook for themselves. In this country, we've been through a lot of hardship, but we are not bitter. Eh? We just a struggle, we are not bitter. Because our aim to come over here to get education, try to get more money, go back, bring back to the old country, to help the country. You know, economically, education, everything, we try to help our country. That's our aim to come over. And first for our own family, to provide them have a better way of living. That's why we sacrifice to come over here. Say, so you read this book, then it's a lot of tears in there.
Definitely.
Yeah, you read this more careful. I'm glad you have this book. That's all the true story. That's how they came over. Many of them, they go to Mexico, they thought easier. Before they go to Mexico and South America, they are much easier. But a lot of time, they anti-Chinese, then they try to smuggle here. But they risk their life. Okay. A lot of time, you heard about them, they bring smuggle some Chinese on their airplane. But when the patrol, immigration patrol taste them, they have to push all the aeroplane pilot, they push all them out of the plane from the media.
Were the family association or district association helping these people try to come over or?
No, mostly individually, if they need any help from individual member, then they help them financially or help them to find a lawyer, help them find some way to help.
Yeah. How about the membership fee? Do they collect the monies from the members?
They have to. That's the only way to maintain them. One thing, during the depression, they have a lot of bread line. you know, the government have to feed them on the breadline. Then one social worker, he suddenly found, how come there's no Chinese in there? Mm-hmm. No Chinese on the breadline. So the, I think the men or women, I forgot it. They wrote that in the newspaper. Then began to investigate, how come no Chinese on the breadline? Then they go to those organizations, family association, district association, they find that now they take care of themselves. Those they can afford, or those they have store, they donate a sack of rice and some ham yu or some song. And they go to a market and pick up some vegetable, or the farmer bring some vegetable in. Then they cook for each other. They get together and cook. Then they don't have to go to the breadline. They feel that's a disgrace.